And we ran out of time.
Ooh, that scared me.
Oh, no. That legit scared the shit out of me. Woo. All right, I didn't need a jump scare right there. Holy crap. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Best of Five. Steve, thank you for resubscribing to the channel for 31 months. Super appreciate it. Got to give you one of these.
I got to give myself a clap.
Yeah, dude. Hey, man, giving yourself a pat on the back is never a bad thing. Now, excuse me while I reload the alerts so that they come through. There we go. Problem solved. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Best of Five, the weekly FGC talk show where, you know, we do stuff and we talk about stuff. My name is Elon, as you can see right there. This is Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek, also known as the Main Squeeze.
What's good in the hood?
Yo, they had Night Trap at SGDQ. Damn, I'm going to have to go back and watch it. That's pretty sick. But tonight on the show, we're going to talk about CPT Online and yet another crazy, crazy scenario situation that has Capcom reeling and making decisions. We're going to talk about Killer Instinct United. It went through. I fucked up a lot, and I caused a lot of worries and a lot of issues. So I apologize to the Killer Instinct community. But the tournament was great. And we're going to do a couple block grabs. We're going to have a special guest, hopefully. We'll see what happens. We're all here. But before we get started with everything, TurboSean, 5 months subscribing to the channel. Big thank you, TurboSean. Much love, my friend. You guys are the ones that keep the show going. It's going to be a banger. Hell yeah. I had coffee. You know what? I used to drink coffee before going to bed. That's how much I used to drink coffee. And I've had like half of this Vietnamese coffee, and I'm fucking turnt. I'm wired, as they say.
Did you just say you were turnt?
Yes.
All right, now turnt yourself around and go. That okay. No, you don't get to say it, you're turnt.
This is as far as I can go.
All right, turnt back around.
Okay. All right, but before we get started with everything, just two house cleaning things. Two things we're gonna talk about. First,
good job.
I got something out there at least. We are going to change the format of the show next week. Not like a big change, but it's gonna make the show a little bit more fun. I think we're gonna save it. I'm gonna save what it is as a surprise until next week. I'm gonna try implementing bits and pieces of it here. If you notice it, call it out in the chat. It'll be great. That's it. I also upgraded my internet, so everything should be coming in much smoother and clearer at that 720 60 frames per second. So enjoy. Now, without further ado, Steve?
Yes?
Will you please hit us with that recap?
Sure. It's been a couple weeks, but we did have a big event on our stream.
Yeah.
A week and a half ago. KI United. This was the big online event for the KI community to replace what was lost with the cancellation of EVO Online. Do you have the results screen up?
Yep.
Okay. Y'all see who's in first place.
Hell yeah.
I did not make that name up. I did not do anything to that name. That's how they entered the tournament. So, congratulations to Skate Fast Eat Ass.
Hell yeah.
Your KI United champion. Taking it over Carnitas in the grand finals. It was a rough road, though. Especially after top 32. No 2-0s, no 3-0s. But I do have to say, number one on the KI United results screen, number two in terms of weirdest name I have seen.
Yep. My favorite part of everything for this tournament was that I think it was either winner's finals or loser's finals. We had Skate Fast Eat Ass and Crazy Skate Nate play each other. And it was the battle of skaters.
The skate mirror.
And then right after the tournament, the new Tony Hawk Pro Skater demo came out. You guys seeing the connection here? Because I sure am.
Are we going Detective Elon on this?
Not tonight, but maybe another day.
Oh. But either hopefully way. Soon.
But either way, a big shout out to Rotendo, who basically like kind of put the community on his back and like made this tournament happen. Big shout out to everybody else who was involved and for letting us take part in it. I had a blast running the stream. We had a couple. I had an internet issue, which was what prompted me to buy more expensive internet immediately after the tournament, so that it would never happen again. We're going to discuss the topic on it a little bit later. But yeah, I just want to say a big thank you to everybody and a big congrats for getting the tournament running and making it happen. A lot of people got to play. A lot of people got to watch. It was super fun. And I was super happy and honored that we got to be a part of it. You know, anything to help out a good scene. Nah, I mean.
Yeah. This has been something I know I've been trying to make happen in some form for quite a while. You know, we were trying to see if we could maybe get a CPT event or some other tournament. So, because we want to be able to do, you know, we do this and we like to think that the community benefits from it, at least somewhat. But, you know, if we can give a platform to more scenes, get games in front of more eyes, that's awesome. So we're really excited to be a part of that. We're really thankful for the opportunity, and hopefully we'll be able to do something along those lines really soon.
Yeah, and we have the gear. Fortunately, we have the gear to do it. Big thanks to Efren for getting me the job at Flow Sports. I've learned how to do shit I never dreamed of. So if anybody does have a tournament that they want to possibly run on this channel, hit us up. We're open to the stream game. So the team that was running the stream was myself and a buddy of mine named Colt, who lives here in Austin. He works in film a lot. We've been kind of doing this streaming thing for a couple people, and we're finally bringing it to DFGC. So we're down the clown, baby. That's all I'm saying on that. Enough of this bullshit circle jerk we're creating here. Fucking stop it, me. Damn it.
Steve? We're patting ourselves on the back. We're certain. We're doing it. We're pulling the Barry Horowitz. We are dropping 90s wrestling jobber references today.
That's where we're at.
We're going deep into the well, folks.
All right. So let's just dive right into our first topic, shall we? First, last week, 2 weekends ago, technically, CPT Online West happened. And as usual, drama ensued. People were rioting in the streets. Well, maybe not rioting in the street. They were rioting online and on Twitter. I shouldn't use that phrase liberally. I apologize. it's the coffee, I swear.
It's one of those things where you know up to a couple months ago you could just say that and everybody knows exactly what you mean. Now,
I apologize for that. But anyway, CPT Online happened and another Metro M situation occurred out of it, this time with Alex Myers. Now, one thing to note, Metro M, Alex Myers, both have an M on the second half of their name. All right, I'm seeing a trend here. But anyway, Alex Myers was being accused of lagging a lot, and so much so that when they were playing the final match to go into top 8 on the loser side, Punk and Myers were having it out. Punk was upset after he lost to Myers due to connection issues. And so much so that on stream, he threw his controller. He became very irate, as all of us would be with playing in Street Fighter V Netcode Land. But the big issue happened in which Punk took it a little bit too far and started making things a little personal, including going after, not going after, but saying some, let's say, unsavory things to Alex Myers and to the TO, Alex Valle, as well. So he went a little too far, right? He let his emotions get the best of him, as would any of us. It's happened to all of us. But this time, Capcom took issue with it. What were we going to
say? Has it happened, though? Has it happened to all of us?
Well, where we've become irate with anger and thrown our controllers? I mean, I don't think it's happened to the point where we specifically started saying personal insults to both the TO and the player. I mean, it's happened to me where I've like shit talked after losing, but you know, I don't think it was personal though. But anyway, drink some more of this coffee here. But Punk was understandably very upset and just took it a little bit too far. But this time, Capcom took issue with it to the point where they made a thing. Oh, also, we forgot to talk about the actual tournament on the recap. I'm sorry for diving right into the topics. So Capcom then decided to take action against what Punk, the chaos that ensued due to Punk's tweets and messages. I don't necessarily know what he said, except for the tweet where he called Alex Myers a bitch and some other things. But I find it very bizarre that A, Capcom decided to take action, and B, well, maybe I don't find it necessarily bizarre that Capcom took action, but I do find it bizarre in the way that they have taken that action. And we do have their statement here. Let me pull this up. Here we go. Quote number one. So this is on Punk's post-match remarks on social media issued on August 20. Steve, since you're more literate than I am, would you please take this away?
Sure. The statement in part reads, after describing what happened, this Capcom statement says, quote, under normal circumstances, such behavior would result in a suspension from multiple premieres. However, given the limited number of qualifying events this season, such a ban has excessive consequences. Capcom has therefore ruled that, should he choose to participate, Punk will automatically start in the loser's bracket in the North America West 2 qualifier in November 2020. The statement continues that we recognize that 2020 has been a frustrating year, but threats and insults amongst our top players cannot be tolerated. We hope that this ruling closes the issue and that all parties can move on from the incident. End quote.
Is this the right move?
Boy. Well, before we get into that,
go ahead.
Before we get into that, let's go chronologically here.
Go for it.
Because you have a couple issues at play. You have the match itself, and you have Punk's reaction to the match. Now, the match itself, it was pretty obvious that there were connectivity issues. There was a question of whether the match would be replayed as far as Punk was concerned. But in the rules, it is one of the it's the player's responsibility to report a connectivity issue right away. You can't, you know, if there's an issue in game one, you don't continue the match and then go and then say, hey, there was an issue. You either got to call it right away or you let it rock. The fact that that didn't happen means that the match counts, basically. Punk was saying that that Myers should have asked for a run back. In my eyes, I think that's not his responsibility. If you notice a problem, you got to say something right away. It shouldn't be on whoever wins the match to determine whether or not they want it in a way that everyone, you know, it shouldn't be their call, because then there's pressure on them to accept the run back, even if it's not their fault, even if it's for something that is completely out of their hands that both players had to deal with. So there's that aspect. Then there was the initial lash out by Punk going after both Alex Myers and Alex Valle. And the big question I saw over the weekend was, you know, does that warrant a punishment? Is this significantly different from something like K-Brad popping off on Wolfgrown right after their match a couple years back? Is, like, do you feel that there should be any sort of punishment? Let's set the punishment aside for a second. But do you feel there should be some sort of punishment here?
Well, I mean, look. Well, first, let me tackle your statement. And you are absolutely right, where if there is an issue, and this has been said over and over and over again, I think, unless maybe I'm just listening to the correct people here. But if there is an issue with anything, you stop the match and you say, hey, I have an issue. And then you work it out before keeping going, right? This was also an issue during KI, the KI tournament, where I had run an ad, or not necessarily an ad, but I was having an ad read before a match, and one of the players saw the ad read on stream and put their controller down, and they lost their first round because they didn't have their hands on the controller, and only after the match is when they mentioned, like, oh, I thought we were not playing, and then he got upset. So, bottom line is, if something happens, if something is wrong, stop playing, right? And then you can talk it out. Because as soon as you pick up the controller and keep playing, that's basically saying you're locked in, right? And at that point, we can't roll anything back. And I see somebody saying, like, oh, what if it's in the second game? What if it's in... No, just stop, right? Just stop. Say, hey, there's an issue. I feel like that's been said multiple times. That's where I'm at on that. Now, should there be a punishment? I think his outburst, Punk's outburst on social media was excessive. I don't know what was said between Valle and him. I wasn't there. I don't know all that was said between Alex Myers and him. I just saw like a tweet or two. But because I don't have that information, I don't feel comfortable saying, hey, there should be a punishment. Hey, there shouldn't. With this said, were this to happen, and I know I'm the king of saying, hey, we can't compare online and offline, blah, 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 blah. If this were to happen at an offline tournament, I feel like it would be a lot clearer, right? Where if somebody is accosting the TO, then it's like, hey, this is an issue. We can work on it. But because I wasn't there, I don't know what was said. Do we even know what the rules are? Like, what are the rules on this as far as like a player disrespecting a TO? Because if we really want to talk about that, like, players disrespect TOs all the time, online and offline, which is kind of a shitty thing. So I think from what I'm understanding, the degree that he took it to and the degree that he went to say whatever he said is what caused Capcom to step in and say something.
To clarify, couple things. One, at least like on Twitter, he did call Alex Myers a bitch twice and said it was that he should have done the honorable thing and asked for a replay. As for Alex Valle, on the Capcom Pro Tour Discord channel during the match or immediately after a match, he said something along the lines of "fuck literally everyone running this shit," and also told Valle that he could perform a sexual act upon him. And you can kind of figure out which one it is. It should also be mentioned that according to the CPT rules, Section 11, which covers the Code of Conduct. That says inappropriate behavior includes but is not limited to B, harassment or intimidation of any other player, staff, or spectator, either in person or through any online channels. So this is certainly within that scope of the... My question is this... Not to say that this should be or shouldn't be covered in the rules, but... Is this significantly different from a pop-off that happens in the heat of the moment at an offline event?
Well, okay. Let's think about it. A pop-off is when someone wins. I hate that I'm mansplaining what a pop-off is. pop-off is when someone wins a match. And they get in their opponent's face. So, for example, I think we had I think you brought this up. K-Brad and Wolfcrone at CPT... Or, I'm sorry, at Final Round 2017, I believe. Does that constitute
harassment? And we loved it!
Yeah, does that constitute harassment?
I think technically, yeah, it probably would, but I don't think most people involved in that would necessarily consider it harassment. And that's sort of where the question marks come in, because, you know, we always talk about the FGC being raw and the question of whether something like that makes people uncomfortable, whether something like that is getting rid of that is sanitizing the scene, or what have you. My personal feel, like, it's sort of like the famous definition of obscenity. You know, I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Mm-hmm. In this particular incident, I saw it.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I think the difference between a pop-off offline and something that happens online is this. The pop-off happens in the heat of the moment. It happens on stage. When the players get off the stage, it's over. Right? Whereas online, and specifically this situation, it seemed like Punk kept pushing the envelope. And somebody actually brought up a really good point. Had this happened to another TO that was not Alex Valle, would this still be as big of an issue as it is now? Right? And if it happened to another player that wasn't Alex Myers, would this still be an issue that it is now? That's a really good thing to think about too, right? We always talk about top player privilege. So if it had happened to either you, me, or anybody in our chat here who's not a top player, would this still be an issue?
Yeah, I mean, there's a difference between something that gets seen by, you know, there isn't a difference in terms of the event itself, but there is a difference in term of reaction, in terms of perception, when it's like, if I'm doing it on stream for 7 people in the first round, nobody cares. You know, someone might tweet it out and it'll get 1 retweet and that will be the end of it. It doesn't necessarily color people's perception of the Capcom Pro Tour or CPT Online. Mm-hmm. When Punk does it in front of hundreds of people, he's one of the most popular players in the U.S., he's got the brighter spotlight on him. Fair or unfair, his actions are going to come under more scrutiny.
Right.
So if he does this, I don't think the receiving end of who this was aimed at is why the reaction was what it was. I think it is who dished it out.
Mm-hmm. That's
so
a good
if Punk
point.
Did this to me, I think we'd be having the exact same conversation. But if Fart Boner did the same thing to me, I don't think anyone would care.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. And these are all things that, unfortunately, we don't have a concrete answer to. Because they didn't happen. We can always say what if and what about, but we'll never know. But sorry. Somebody said we would. Screw Fart Boner. Anyway.
Hey, if Fart Boner's got beef with me, they can just come up and say it. We can hash it out in DMs.
I do think that the punishment, or even like just the statement, I think could have been a little more clear in the sense of them saying, hey, this is what happened. Thank you, Die by Sword.
Oh, we got to settle this right now.
Oh,
we are
going to
settle this.
Die by Sword supporting the stream and starting shit. Oh, no.
Bring it on. Bring it on.
Oh, no, Steve, you're on your own. No, I'm kidding. But
am I, though? I might have some backup here in a second.
I'm a wimp. If I take a punch to the face, I'm dead. Literally. But anyway, I forgot what my train of thought was. It's okay. The response by Capcom and the ensuing punishment by Capcom, I think, are super bizarre. Because A, I don't think we've ever seen, and this is one of those things where it's a first, right? This is the first time that we've seen like this much of a public beef happen to the point where Capcom found it found, Capcom felt the need to step in. And on a brighter side, thank you, Dr. Swagenheimer, for the big old 3 months. Much appreciated, my friend.
Thank you.
Everybody's enjoying all those Hyperscape emotes.
The former Twin City member.
Oh, yeah?
Damn. Yeah, so I was able to talk to him a little bit before Red Bull Proving Ground a couple years ago. So,
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. But here's I think where I'm getting to. Let's just jump to the chase. Cut to the chase. Stop yippity yapping. Cut the malarkey. Quit faffing about. The punishment that they handed out, where it essentially messes with the tournament, I think is bad. I think it's very bad. Where if you're having a player start on losers, I think that's very shitty. I'm under the all or nothing. Like, either you fucking, you're not allowed to compete in the tournament, or you are. Right? Because as soon as you start messing with, like, oh, you can compete in the tournament, but we're going to tie one hand behind your back, that starts getting way too complicated, and that starts getting real shitty real fast.
That sounds like a Vince McMahon thing. Like, no, Austin, I'm not going to kick you out of the King of the Ring. But you're going to have a first-round match with The Undertaker. Something like that. Like, here's my situation. Here's my opinion on this. I feel like I understand what Capcom was trying to do. But it comes off very weird if you specifically say that normally this would justify a ban for multiple events. But under the circumstances, he's not going to be banned from one single event. It just puts a big question mark in everyone's heads in terms of why would you even do this? Does this even punish Punk? I mean, it obviously does because now he's got to win twice as many matches in order to get to Capcom Cup if he does qualify through the second qualifier. But it also punishes people who get sent to the loser bracket who now automatically have a much more difficult path than they normally would. It screws with the integrity of the tournament results for pretty much everywhere except first place because of how double elimination works. Thankfully, under this format, first place is really the only spot that matters since there's no other real prizing or other. Obviously, there's personal incentive, but as far as Capcom is concerned, first place gets the prize, second place gets a pat on the back. So, I understand why they did it. I think it sets a very strange precedent going forward. And I'm not sure. I feel like it's going to be a situation very similar to what happened with LTG and Ceroblast, where they made the ban, they made the decision for one player who took a specific action. And then they're pretty much, their hands are cuffed, and now they have to do the same thing for every player who reaches that, who does that same thing.
Right. And that's going to cause a lot of issues, man. Like, I can just see into the future where, like, two people get into a beef, and it's, I don't know, Tokido, like, flipped off someone in a fit of rage. Now Tokido has to start in losers. And also Daigo starts in losers as well because, I don't know, he forgot to disconnect his what was that one stick that he that was broken that he was using? The frag box? What's it called? Fuck. I don't remember. But either way, this is going to get super complicated super fast, and I think this is a terrible move. Like I said, as soon as you start messing with like what's happening in the tournament because of these bans or these punishments, that's where everything's just going to start going to shit. Right. So, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough. And I mean, like I said, I think the best move would be to see how this plays out. When they see that it's a bad idea, walk it back and find a better way of dealing with it. You feel me?
I feel like it would be, I would be okay with them saying it doesn't reach the level of an event ban. I would be fine with them saying it does reach the level of an event ban. I just wish it was one or the other. Either it's worth punishing or it's not worth punishing. Like Mike said on Breaking Bad, no half measures.
Yep. That's where I'm at too. And this feels like a half measure. And again, I would be super curious to see what the decisions would be were it different players and different TOs, just to see like how that affected it. Anyway, we've covered. Is there anything else we need to say on this matter?
I don't think there's anything we need to touch on.
Okay,
but we'll see how it plays out in November. There's always the chance that he chooses not to enter.
Yep.
Here would be the most interesting part, because there's also still that last spot that gets determined by the community vote.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if Punk, you know, doesn't enter CPT2 but still gets voted in? He effectively gets no punishment.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But let's move on. And speaking of moving on, we do have a super special guest giving us her time of day. Please, everybody, give a warm welcome to the Purple Sharpie.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. I overslept and I apologize.
see, I was about to say that you were having technical issues. I was about
so
to cover
kinder.
You.
That's so much kinder. No, it absolutely cannot be blamed on the technology of robots whatsoever, because when our AI overlords take over next year, I don't want that on my conscience. I just want to say straight up, my human flesh was too weak. I fell asleep because I was up until 2 o'clock in the morning with updates from my community. So that's my own fault.
you really think the robot overlords are coming next year?
Look,
if they are,
I'm with Sharpie on this one. If they are, I'm a good guy.
See?
I'm with Sharpie on this one.
I'm saying it would happen. I'm saying it would happen before December 31st. I mean, because why else? Like 2021, it's Ollie Ollie Austin free. We're clear.
Sometimes I think robots are 100% gonna come into 2021, like new year, new me, out with the robot, you know, out with the flesh bags, and the overlord. I'm saying, I feel like we're not being kind enough to how much time they need to recover from 2020, you know?
are you saying they're coming in with bumper stickers that say, like, not all who wander are lost?
I'm not saying and that they're not.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
God.
But thank you so much for having me. I'm very, very happy that you guys still allowed me to come on. Thank you very much.
Oh, no. Look, I remember, what was it, like a couple months ago, you gifted a shit ton of subs to us. So let me in person say thank you for helping keep the show afloat.
If I can be honest right now, I'm a big fan of the show, and I have been since you guys have been on .esport. Honestly, I think you guys are some of the best content creators inside of the FTC and the most consistent content creators inside of the FTC. And I'm always happy to support people inside of the FTC, especially people that are trying their hardest to make sure that we have some form of consistency at a very, very dark time. So it was my honor, honestly, to provide the subs to you guys.
Let my imposter syndrome take over and stop lying. No, I'm just kidding. No, seriously, big thank you. Super appreciate that. And we're super happy to have you on the show. It's been a long time coming. We've been trying to work this out for quite a while, and we're finally happy that you're on here. So, in the interest of time,
yes,
I was checking what time it was. Let's dive into it. Sharpie, you just got here. This past week has been an awful week for the Skullgirls community. More so than usual. I don't know why I said that. Maybe more so than usual. I'm not entirely sure. But for those of you that don't know...
I think it's fair to say that. I think it's fair.
Well, I think it's weird because every corner of the FGC has dealt with something, including all of us as a whole, thanks to Evo. But now Skullgirls is getting their turn of the shit stick. The Skullgirls community, I should say, is getting their turn. So for those of you that don't know, a dev from Inside... Oh man, is it Lab Zero? I always get their name wrong. Is it Lab Zero?
It's Lab Zero.
Lab Zero.
Lab Zero Games. Yeah.
Yes. Came out with a public statement on Twitter saying that they have left Lab Zero because of the toxic workplace created by the one and only Mike Z. So, Sharpie, you have way more of an ear to the ground on this than Steve and I do combined. So, like, what is happening? Like, what can you say about it? What do you think?
Well, this kind of all started originally back in June. This all started with the moment that a lot of people are very familiar with. Shortly, literally 2 days after George Floyd's unfortunate murder, there was a stream that had been planned, and I was on that stream as well as Kai Kennedy, and we were all commentating with Mike Z. And on that stream, Mike Z said something very inappropriate regarding George Floyd's death. A few weeks later, there was another incident with a female streamer that had come to public light that forced a statement to be organized and made by myself. After that statement was created, essentially banning Mike Z permanently from commentary and issuing a 2-year ban from him participating in offline or online tournaments, Lab Zero started internally speaking. And that wasn't, I believe, the first time that they had been speaking regarding it. I believe they started speaking after the incident when I reached out to them in the first week of June. But after the formal community statement, they really started moving the gears together. And they made a tweet saying, by the way, we understand what's going on right now with Mike, and we'll be making a statement very soon. Right. And that's kind of where we had radio silence for the next couple of weeks. Very recently this week, actually starting, I believe, on the 23rd, which I think that's Monday, if I'm not mistaken. I'm pretty sure that's... No, that's Sunday. So that's Sunday. That's Sunday afternoon. The very first tweet came out from an employee at Lab Zero. Basically, we had very little sparse information at this point in time. We had people leaving Lab Zero kind of stealthily and not really talking about it. The big thing that kind of shot all of this off was actually previous to the statement that the community made. There was a singular employee whose name I don't feel comfortable stating here, but they came out with a detailed thread detailing all of these times and moments that Mike Z had made them feel uncomfortable while they were working at Lab Zero and why they subsequently had opted to leave Lab Zero. But due to just the blowback of everything going on with the Twitch streamer at the time, with the George Floyd moment, with the statement, with Evo, because literally Evo was canceled the very next day after the statement came out, by the way, the very next day, it was somewhat overlooked. I'll be honest, I didn't overlook it because it was just like a bunch of stuff coming onto my plate about my community, about someone that I was very close to, someone that I considered a very good personal friend. So it wasn't something that escaped my radar, but I don't believe it was a lot of the public's interest that was occurring. And that was a big component about why I felt so strongly that we needed to make a statement, because Mike was, for lack of a better word, cutting up in both his professional and personal life. When you as a player show very little respect and empathy for others inside of the community, and then you inside of your professional life show that exact same empathy for your coworkers or your employees, that's a problem. And that's when we have to kind of start handing out consequences for actions. So that had happened, but suffice it to say, a couple of days ago, literally 2 days ago, a statement was made by a previous employee saying, hey, I'm leaving Lab Zero Games, and I'm leaving because of Mike. Mike told me that Mike is now the leader. First of all, they updated us with a bunch of stuff about Lab Zero. The very first thing is that Lab Zero Games is now currently owned 100% by Mike Z. This occurred, I believe, back inside of March. There were some issues with the previous owner for Lab Zero Games, and so they gave the position of CEO to Mike, and gave him 100% control over the company with the idea that there was going to be a contract that would give every single person on the team, people that had been with the team for the past 12 years since it was at Reverge Games, equity inside of the company, thereby making everyone equal, equal in the eyes of the law for the company. But after the statements had come out and after the community statement had happened and after everything had happened regarding, you know, Mike just being publicly said this is inappropriate and everything, internally Lab Zero in July had started thinking and started talking and started being like, all the employees were like, hey, you know, has Mike ever done anything that made you feel a little bit uncomfortable? Has Mike ever done anything that wasn't appropriate? Are we comfortable still having him here at our company, having done all of these things publicly and privately? And the answer was no. From that point, after Mike spoke with them, originally he was like, you know, I understand. I'm comfortable leaving. And they were like, cool, wrote up a bunch of clauses and everything like that, tried to give him a substantial amount of, for lack of a better word, a severance package, basically. And he denied it. He basically said no. And then he put in a counteroffer that the ex-employee described as completely unrealistic, not fair in the slightest. Additional employees have stated that Alex Ahad left earlier this year. And when he did, when Alex Ahad did leave, he left with quite a substantial amount. So they were very, very adamant about making sure that someone who they don't believe deserved to be rewarded for past actions of hurting employees and hurting community members, they were very, very adamant that the same thing did not happen. Because Alex Ahad, while he was a fan favorite and very, very publicly loved, was not the best employee while at Lab Zero, similar to Mike. So they did not want a situation repeated regarding that. And Mike, unfortunately, saw the offer, denied it, proposed with a what I can only describe from Lab Zero employees' statements as completely and totally unacceptable, and then stated after that was denied, said he would absolutely not be leaving, and gave an ultimatum of every single person either leaving by August 31st or being okay with it. And so what we saw over the last 72 hours was essentially a large exodus from everyone at Lab Zero Games who has worked on both Skullgirls and Skullgirls, subsequent Skullgirls Second Encore DLC, as well as Indivisible, and a multitude of other projects that were in the works from Lab Zero Games just leave, because they were no longer comfortable working under Mike or working with Mike in any capacity. A decision that I wholeheartedly and completely, totally support the employees on, because I 100% believe they were in the right. I believe they were fighting for what was theirs all along, because similar to Mike, a number of these employees have been there for the past 10 years, 8 years. One of the lead artists, Mariel Cartwright, has been there since, Jesus Christ, since 2012, almost, actually, I think 2010. I think she's been there for almost over 12 years now, actually, since the creation of it. And it's really unfortunate. Lab Zero Games has been very forward-thinking since I've been happy enough to support them this entire time. And one of the things I did support them was because they were so fair to contractors, to part-time and full-time employees that worked with them. And it was an example of what I genuinely believed everyone inside of the gaming development companies, everyone inside of the gaming field should be treating these game development teams and publishers, should be acting towards their employees. And I really felt like they were a shining example of what to do. It's just very unfortunate now that someone, because of their own selfishness, has opted to ruin that for everyone. So that kind of describes the original exodus. From that point on, what we saw yesterday was kind of a major, I feel like, pot boiling situation. Like I stated, the very first public employee left on Sunday, and then on Monday, that was when we saw a large number of employees start to leave publicly and state, we're no longer comfortable working here. It's now Monday morning. Everybody, we're not with Lab Zero Games anymore. And here's why. It's because of Mike. Every single person was coming out with accounts of harassment, abuse, manipulation that had all been taking place over the past decade under Mike and regarding Mike, and had explained exactly why they believed it was the right thing. And there are several different accounts. You can find several different articles where they go further into it. I don't feel comfortable repeating all of their very personal harassment and manipulation accounts. But what I will say was, suffice it, it was good enough for me to no longer feel comfortable supporting Skullgirl Second Encore, as long as Mike Zaymot was with Lab Zero Games. So I'm no longer playing Skullgirl Second Encore, but a statement did come out. It was a joint statement by Hidden Variable, who are the people who created Skullgirls Mobile, no relation at all to Lab Zero Games, and Autumn Games, who is the publisher for Skullgirls Second Encore, and holds the official IP for Skullgirls Second Encore. They basically came out with a joint statement just saying, by the way, we've completely terminated any connection with Mike Z and Lab Zero Games, and moving forward, we'll be working with all the ex-employees on the game and the anti-DLC, which I am very, very happy about.
Yeah, and here's the statement, full thing.
Yeah, it says, in part, Autumn Games and Hidden Variable Studios fully support those employees who have chosen to stand by their principles and leave in light of that behavior, and we find their allegations to be credible. As such, effective immediately, we will no longer be working with Mike Zaymot or Lab Zero Games. And it does, like you said, go on to describe that Hidden Variable is the one who has been working by themselves on Skullgirls Mobile. That Autumn Games is the one who owns 100% of the copyright, or the rights, excuse me, to Skullgirls Second Encore and Skullgirls IP. So the game will continue. And it's interesting because just last week, they just announced that both games were getting a new character. Annie of the Stars was finally coming to mobile later this year, and then to Second Encore in 2021. Like, it's the game.
I was so excited about it. I was so excited. I had felt like, especially since I was going to be commentating Evo, there were opportunities that, unfortunately, when Evo left, those opportunities left as well, just by merit of, you know, Skullgirls no longer being at Evo, which was incredibly disheartening, but I understood why, and I completely support the fact that Evo was canceled. It's just, you know, personally disheartening, but suffice it to say, like, it was literally a breath of fresh air, and I was very, very excited to be working with the Skullgirls Mobile team on essentially making sure that the game was visible, making sure that, you know, lots of people were excited, because I was excited, because I love Skullgirls. I literally love Skullgirls. That's never anything I've ever tried to hide in my life. It's the game I absolutely love. That's my game. I couldn't tell. seeing this happen just left such a sour taste in my mouth. It hurts when someone is so adamant about denying accountability and denying responsibility that they hurt so many people outside of just a professional level, just on a personal level as well. Because there are incidents that Mike Z has done to me since June, that have made me very uncomfortable, that I don't feel at liberty to publicly discuss. But what I will state is, everything tracks. From every single statement that I've read with these employees, everything tracks with how I've come to understand Mike actually is. And so when they say we 100% believe it, we don't need to see a police report, we don't need to see, you know, we don't need a lawsuit to know what's right, like, that's so true. That's so true, because these people are literally bearing their souls about the truth of it, and it really frustrates me to see all these other comments like, well, you know, where's the evidence? Where's the proof? Where's the police report? This is all public opinion. It's like, well, I understand that the public doesn't genuinely know Mike besides all the patches that he does for Skullgirls, but for people that know him personally, like, this is a lot. This is a lot, because the person that we all thought that we knew, it turns out that's not who he actually was. And it's painful. It's very painful. It leaves a super terrible taste in your mouth to know that people were manipulated for Private Game.
Yeah. You're absolutely 100% right about that leaving a poor taste. And in that vein, I want to ask you, again, you have a much closer ear to the ground to the Skullgirls community than Steve or I. How has the community in general, like the Skullgirls community, because I know the Skullgirls community tends to be a tighter group than most other communities, because it's a smaller crew and you all seem to know each other and you all seem to be super passionate about the game you play and about each other. So how has the community been dealing with this? Especially since now you have, like you said it yourself, like you're no longer going to play Skullgirls. What's next for the Skullgirls community? What's happening?
So as of right now, a number of the Skullgirls community, just overwhelming numbers, everyone came out to support all of these ex-employees of Lab Zero Games that were leaving. Everybody did. I believe the reason people know we exist is because from a very long time ago, while we exclusively used to be on forums, which is how we got to be so close and tight-knit, and even now we almost exclusively live on Discord, we still have a very, very large and a very, very public Twitter presence, which is how we got to be trending over the last 72 hours. Because when something happens inside of our community, positive or negative, people come out in droves to either support or make sure it does not happen again, which I absolutely love about the Skullgirls community. I absolutely love about people that are just fans of Skullgirl. That's my favorite. My favorite part is that regardless of how you feel about like some of the state of the game, people will come out to do the right thing inside of the Skullgirls community. And that's beautiful. Moving forward, the very first thing that Sonic Fox, who is a very large player and one of the most visible players inside of the community, came out was originally like, okay, every single person that left Lab Zero, I'm going to be retweeting you guys. I'm going to make sure that you guys are able to go ahead and get employed, because we are in the middle of a pandemic. Like, actively still, this entire thing happened while we have over 10 million people inside of America that do not have jobs, which is just... I cannot stress how selfish this entire thing was. I absolutely cannot stress at all how juvenile any of this was by Mike. But suffice it to say, like, that was a beautiful thing that they chose to do in support of everyone at Lab Zero. And they were retweeting links from other creators, from cleanup artists, from sketch artists, from staged and platform designers, from the man who created and brought us the Mac and Linux version of Skullgirls. Everybody was getting a very, very visible bunch of attention from Sonic's platform. In a lot of other people's veins, everybody was like, we stand with Lab Zero. A lot of people opted to go ahead and make sure that people understood that they were no longer comfortable being inside of the Skullgirls community as long as Mike was there, which really pushed that statement from Hidden Variable and Autumn Games. A lot of the community right as of now that the Autumn Games and Hidden Variable statement has come out saying that they've cut all ties with Mike Z, a lot of people are very happy that they're finally able to continue playing Skullgirls without any bad taste in their mouth, with positive views, knowing that Annie will be completely and totally supported without the assistance of Mike Zaymont is huge for the community. And so they're very, 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 very happy to be continuing playing Skullgirls. Although, unfortunately, myself, I believe I need a little bit more time away from Skullgirls just in general before I feel comfortable playing it again. I'm really happy to say that so many other people were very, very happy to hear it and are continuing to start running tournaments or continuing to schedule events or continuing to stream or continuing to just be very active members inside of the community and creating content like the Skullgirls community that I know and love, which is fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm such a big fan of hearing like the light coming from the dark. You know what I'm trying to say. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but you do.
It's very positive. It's very positive news right now. And that's kind of what I needed to hear, because honestly, these past 72 hours have been a whole roller coaster for me. I had a stream yesterday where I had to publicly explain why I could finally talk about it. because there were I don't believe it's a surprise to anybody that I'm very close to everyone at Lab Zero Games, considering how long I've been, for lack of a better word, shilling Skullgirls. I only do that with people that I am very comfortable working with people that I'm very, very comfortable and absolutely know, and I feel like 100% I can trust them. And a level of trust there was broken by Mike. And so it's nobody else's fault, because I still trust all the ex-employees. I still trust Hunt and Variable. I still trust Autumn Games. I just need to see a little bit more substance behind how they plan to execute these statements before I personally feel comfortable going back to promoting Skullgirl Second Encore with the same vigor that I felt before. Because unfortunately, I'm so sad to say that it's kind of like... you know, like, this childish, like, wonder that I had for Skullgirls has been broken with everything that happened from that stream in June. Like, it was just, it made me feel like not playing the game anymore. Like, the things that Mike did to not just me, but people that I considered family, it genuinely doesn't, it leaves an especially personal taste in my mouth. And that is something that I really need to see Autumn Games change privately before I can feel comfortable promoting it personally. But I'm so happy to see that a lot of other people didn't have that same level of trust broken, because I don't believe Autumn Games or Hidden Variable or even the ex-employees at Lab Zero did anything to belay that trust. It was exclusively Mike. Mm-hmm. It was exclusively him. So I'm really happy to say that it wasn't much worse than it was, because it very easily could have been. I mean, of course, you're going to have, like, all of, you know, the standard negative Nancys, like, boo-booing it that aren't inside the community whatsoever. Like, that's a very common trope, I believe, inside of the fighting game community as a whole. Like, people love drama. You know, that's why Tuesdays are so popular. But I'm very happy to say that Skullgirls didn't fall into that same trap of just the self-hating, self-loathing cycle. Mm-hmm. Which I still think makes it one of the better communities inside of the fighting game community today. There's a lot of love inside of these smaller communities that doesn't always get exposure just because of how small we are and how hard we have to fight to stay visible. Like you guys have been saying, I've been trying to support you guys for years, and not for like lack of trying, but it's like I'm finally on the show, like, and I'm leaving Skullgirls. You know,
just
what
in
I
time.
Mean? Like,
not just it was like literally your first topic. Like, hi, welcome to the show. Glad to have you. Here's this soul-crushing topic that's incredibly personal. Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here. Exactly. I'm very, very happy to be good friends with other people inside the fighting game community and to be fantastic friends with the developers at Main Six. I've been a very, very large backseat fan of them fighting herds for the longest time. And now that I have all of this literal free time, like, I'm not joking when I said Skullgirls took up 75% of the time. I'm a co-founder of Combo Queens. I'm the head FGC TO of Xanadu Games. I have my own stream that I run with great, great popularity, I think, in general. And I'm very proud of the growth that it has. But even with all of that, I still felt like 75% of my time was being spent exclusively on Skullgirls. And now that that's free, I can dedicate all of that to Them Fighting Herds, which is another game, a very beautiful community that's budding the exact same way that Skullgirls did. And I am absolutely happy to be a part of, and I'm absolutely excited to be working with inside of the future. And I know for a fact that I'm going to be returning to Skullgirls Mobile. I know that for a fact. I just need time away from Skullgirls though. For Skullgirls like an encore to come back to the actual fighting game, it's going to take time for me. There's no other way around it. It's going to take time.
Get
there, but, it's definitely going to take time. It's not something I can rush. I've tried to rush it. I literally commentated an event on Saturday. I had so much fun commentating an event Saturday, but I can't. I can't right now.
Yeah, no, and that's totally understandable, and I'm pretty sure nobody blames you for any of it.
Yeah. Everyone's been very understanding. Everyone inside the community has been very understanding. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are people that are just mad at me regardless of what I do, which I've just come to expect as a black female in general and as a female inside of the fighting game community that's going to happen. But the community, the actual, I feel like the actual 95%, like the 99% of people in general are like, that's great for you, Sharpie. We're super happy. We're going to support you regardless of what you do. We love you so much. And just seeing all the love come out for me and other, I shouldn't say other employees because I'm not an employee and I'm not contracted by Lab Zero whatsoever. I want to make that very clear. I'm exclusively a community member that just became very, 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 very involved with them. And I know what I can say and can't say privately and publicly. I felt very, very, very proud of everyone and everybody's showing of support regarding that. It really, I cried. I cried a lot. I cried on stream. I cried off stream. I cried when I woke up. I cried when I went to sleep. I was just sad and happy. And I mean, if I didn't know any better, I say I'm going through menopause, honestly. I'm not that old. I'm not that old. Before y'all start making jokes, I'm not that old. I'm 20 something. Okay? Jesus.
I got no follow up for that. I got
neither.
I know you don't. I know you don't, Steve, because you're smart. Because you're smart. That's why.
I have people I have to answer to if I say anything. So I got... You know what? We need to lighten up the mood a little bit. We got two more topics that we got to cover.
We do.
First...
Go for it, Steve.
First off, I'm going to throw the link in the chat. This is something that I... wasn't able to talk about last week because obviously we didn't have a show last week. But EXO Academy, if you remember them, they are the organization that chooses, that's trying to build up women within the FGC. They not only just take them on and train them up in terms of being a player, but they have bring in other teachers from other aspects of the community to basically raise their entire profile, raise their entire game, to be better streamers, better content makers, all across the board. So last week, they announced that they are bringing Athena in for Season 2. Their second season obviously being delayed with the pandemic causing cancellation of a bunch of events. But they've got, for their special skills team this year, they've got Amanda Stevens, who they've had on the show, to work with them on media. Branding is going to be covered by Carolyn, a.k.a. Mama Dow. Kate McGee is going to be working with them for physical therapy. And Gerald from Core A Gaming, who we've also had on the show, is going to be working with them for content creation. So,
man,
I really love...
Also...
Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to give you guys props because you guys were the very first news... people to cover EXO Academy, despite the fact that they had come out with something not this past season, but the very first season when nobody else would break, you guys broke them, which was broke the news that they were out. Broke the news that they were out, which was fantastic, and that's why I'm so happy that you guys are covering it again.
Yeah, no,
I believe EXO Academy and Persia, the person who leads EXO Academy, absolutely deserves that coverage
for sure. And you got to give thanks to Efren, may Lord Umbaso rest his on-screen soul. But Efren was the one that kind of found that, so I'm not going to take any credit for it. Steve, if you want to take some credit for it, maybe you found it. I don't know.
It was Steve.
Well, you know,
I messaged Steve, and Steve
good.
Covered it.
Everything good on this show is because of me. Everything bad is because of Alon. Yep. I'm running
as
president.
I'm not going to say anything. Event Hubs didn't run anything. SRK didn't run anything. Mm-hmm. Top Tier wasn't a thing at a time. They didn't cover anything. Like, nobody was covering it.
Yeah.
So it was you guys. You guys were the ones covering it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, this is such a unique thing. I love EXO Academy and, like, the fact that its entire purpose is basically to empower and build up women within the FGC, right? And I find it so funny, and I'm sure this has been talked about until people are blue in the face, where everybody says, oh, we need more women in the FGC, blah, 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 this and that. And then all these things start happening for women, and then people start complaining.
Yep.
And to me, that's just such a fucked, like, I don't even know what goes through people's brains when they say shit like that. It's like, this thing is just for women. That's, I, as a man, dislike that. So it's like...
It feels like because it's not normalized
right.
yet to the level that it should be, because we're not seeing, like, you know, a 50-50 split of people who identify as female inside of the community. It's what people are not used to, because, like, it's something that people are consistently forget until it feels like a woman is in the room, is that we aren't very visible. Despite how prevalent we are inside of the scene, and despite the fact that we do get to the same level of success that our male counterparts do very frequently and very often after trying for a very long time, we're still not as visible. Like, I've been running events for the past now 12 years of my life, And I'm just now getting to the point where I'm, where my name is being brought up around women inside of the fighting game community. But when I first started, like even 2 years ago, it was just Sherry. It was Sherry and Persia. And that those were the names that you hear. You didn't hear Romanova. You didn't hear Amanda Stevens. You didn't hear, you know, Cuddlecore. You didn't hear any of that. Like, the voices that you heard were two women, and that was it. And even though they were like, hey, look at all these other women inside of the community, nobody was like, okay, but you guys are the main ones, right? Like, you guys are the ones playing. You guys are the ones we're seeing. And they're like, no, there's a bunch of us here. And everyone's like, nah, it's y'all. It's y'all. And it's similar to saying, oh, man, so Street Fighter, huh? There must only be Punk. There must just be Punk, right? It's just him. It's just him, everything, right? Like, that's it. There's only Justin Wong, right? That's it. Yeah. That's the entirety of the Marvel scene. Am I correct? Like, it's Justin Wong and Yikes. That's everybody?
Well, I mean, that's in the early 2000s, maybe.
that's my point.
No, you're absolutely right.
That's the same level of visibility that women exist in, because it just feels like, okay, you only need that one woman, you only need that one female player, you only need that one female commentator, and that covers everybody. No, there are female commentators that stream, there are female commentators, there are females that stream, there are females that commentate, there are females that exclusively run things behind the scenes in terms of production, there are females that organize, there are females that cosplay, there are females that do all these fantastic things besides just playing. And I love Exco Academy because they're doing something that I'm not seeing a lot of teams do, which is actually provide retention and longevity for women inside of the community. That's why it's so important, is because we're not seeing training regimens like this in any other aspect for the community right now, but we're seeing it for women. And this is the third time I've heard it discussed ever in my history of being inside of the FGC for the past 5 years. This is the third time I'm hearing it covered on a news cycle. You know, like, that's crazy to me. We had one of our very first female commentators, the very first female commentator for Evo, start an entire production that helps empower women inside of the community, and nobody was talking about it. Like, you know, what do we need to do? What do we need to do? We raised $10,000 for trans foundations out here. Amanda Stevens did. We have commentated worldwide events. That's Romanova. We have won and competed in the top 8 tournament series, international series, Cuddlecore, top 8 for Tekken. Like, what more do we need to do to remind you guys that we're here and that we're valid and that we deserve to be inside of this space? Like, what do you guys want from us? What do we need to do? Do we need to just keep waving the flag saying that we're here, by the way? Like, is that what everyone needs to do? It shouldn't be. No one else needs to keep doing it. Why do we? You know?
Yeah.
And, oh man, I didn't mean to go there, but I went there.
No. Please do. Please do. The floor is yours. But I do want to talk about something else too. Did you mention earlier that you work with Combo Queens?
I did.
Yes. Okay.
I am one of the three founders of Combo Queens, and one of the two that Carolyn brought on after she originally founded Combo Queens. It's myself and Jamillion, otherwise known as Emily, who specifically works up inside the Northeast. People may know her because she's very closely related with Biggie Gaming. She helps run and produce all the events up there. She's their media head as well as their, I believe, lead organizer right underneath Cell and E. So she's very well known on the East Coast over here regarding that. So, yeah,
and she's also a great player, by the way.
I'm sorry?
She's also a great player, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, she was a fantastic player. You're correct. She played Seahawk, I believe.
Yeah, because I'm from Philly, and her and I have played in locals many, many times. And it's funny because so I was super new to the Philly scene, and I was super new to the FGC in general, and she was one of those people that took the time to come and talk to me, right?
Yeah.
So I view her and Big E as, like, the two people that, like, kind of, like, showed me, like, what this community is about. So
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I feel like not enough people understand that she was out here. A lot of people know about my rise to Ascension because I get interviewed literally all the time. She's a lot more busy and unable to do as many media events as I do. And so I'm always really happy when people are like, you guys know Jamillion interviewed players before they even had media interviews founded inside of the fighting game community. She ran her own events for females. She organized events. She reached out to new players, like you stated, Ilan, just like yourself, all the time. I'm so happy you could still share that story with us, because that's that's something that she has done before that people just don't frequently bring up. I'm very guilty of it myself because I just kind of take it for granted along with like my whole Skullgirls history. You know, I just like, of course we all played, you know? but yeah, no, she's a super active member inside of the community as well by her own right. And she's been, I will be very honest. She is the singular reason why Combo Queens is still active and around today. She is running things almost, I want to say, with like 80% efficiency in the shadows right now while I'm working on other things. And I was in a point where I needed to recover and everything like that. And it was fantastic to see her take up that mantle and be really, really amazing about promoting and providing pop bonuses to a couple of events that have been occurring inside of the FGC since quarantine. I believe there was a female-only tournament called Queens of Quarantine. And she helped organize a pop bonus for that inside of on behalf of Combo Queens, which was fantastic. But she does so many things for women inside of the community, and it's absolutely beautiful watching her finally get the recognition that she deserves.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, it's funny you were mentioning about having to wave the flag to say you're here. Combo Queens is another, I think, great example of something that I see that somehow tends to get some hate, right? I don't understand it, but I think I specifically remember a panel at Evo where it was a Combo Queens panel, and it was something meant to, like, you know, empower women in the FGC and all this other shit. And people started, like, knocking it down. And it's... I don't understand. I truthfully don't understand.
You can speak the truth. You can speak the truth. And because of the mouths that it's coming from, it'll be open to criticism. And that's what I feel like we typically see inside of not just the fighting game community, but inside of the gaming community as a whole when it comes to women speaking on their experiences. Because prior to that Evo, there were some situations that had occurred, I believe, like that were sexual in nature. And even at that Evo, after the VODs were released, there was a lot of people coming forward and saying, hey, by the way, I wasn't safe at that Evo. I wasn't safe at all. And a lot of people were like, well, if you weren't safe, then why was Combo Queens there? And it's like, what? That's like saying, okay, this is what it's like saying. It's literally like saying, oh my God, I can't believe that there was collusion inside of this bracket between like these two players, these two completely and totally unsponsored players. It's like, well, if there's collusion, why was Panda Global there? And it's like, are you joking? Where did Panda Global come from? They just happened to be a team that had players at that same event. Like, what does that have to do with literally anything except the fact that they were in the same place at the exact same time? It has nothing to do with it. That's not what the conversation's about. And we see that very, very frequently when people start talking about women inside of the community or people who identify as female inside of gaming, because they're just looking to turn the conversation into, well, women don't deserve to be here. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to turn it into a problem as opposed to answering the fact that, hey, well, maybe the community right now is not as positive as we think it is. And people inside of the community that aren't us, people that have different experiences and who are different people than us, are showing us that it's not as great as we think it is and we need to change. Mm-hmm. And it's been like this for a very long time. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've had the most positive experiences inside of the fighting game community. My very first experience coming into the community and the reason why I started playing Melee before I even touched a fighting game, like competitively, the reason I didn't pick up Marvel was because I had a negative experience inside of the fighting game community. The very first local I ever went to was a Marvel tournament, and I didn't want to stay inside of the community because everyone there was super toxic to me. So no, I don't blame a singular woman or person who identifies as female as for not wanting to stay and having issues when we're not 100% there yet. We're working very, very hard. We're trying very, very hard to make it a super positive experience across the board for everyone, but we're still not there yet, and I don't think we will be until people acknowledge that it's not fair. It's not fair for women and people who identify as female inside of this community yet. It's not fair.
And you're absolutely right. And it's funny because, like, every once in a while, something will happen where this conversation does come up. I think a good example of that was Evo last year. where people started coming out with sexual assault and sexual abuse allegations against some players through the Evil Party and date rape and all this other stuff. That's when that conversation comes up. But I find it super shitty that it has to take an event like that for this conversation to come up. And I'm guilty of this myself, where after this happens, it goes away from my brain until it's brought up the next time, right? So, So, what are some ways that that those of us who want to help support women in the FGC but don't necessarily know how, what are some ways that we can help support women in the FGC and make it a more welcoming welcoming place for women to dive in?
Well, the first step is acknowledging that inherently women inside of gaming face a barrier. Because just in general, when you actually start talking outside of competitive gaming, women do make up a relatively large percentage of people that play online, but they don't make up a large percentage of people that participate offline. And that's because in the clearest terms, we don't feel safe. We really don't feel safe. You have to understand these tournaments are like 90% male, and people don't feel safe. People are scared. People don't know everybody there. Anything could happen, like we saw at Evo last year. And so understanding the very first thing is making sure that women feel safe by making sure that they understand that there are places and people inside of the community that can talk to. That's the very first thing that needs to happen inside of the community. We need to establish specific people inside of the community that are comfortable speaking to women and people who identify to female when something is wrong, or just like being there to show, yeah, by the way, you can come over here and not have to worry about being judged or anything like that. If everyone opens themselves to just speaking to women, I know that sounds really, really basic, but just it starts by talking literally and just being welcoming and being polite the same way that you would to any other player for the very first time. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you guys are super toxic. I assume that most people are not super incredibly ridiculously toxic anymore, because I like to think that the community doesn't actively reflect that. But being open and understanding that regardless of someone's history, that they're ultimately here exclusively because they love games so much that they wanted to experience games in person. Just having that level of understanding when you approach a woman or someone who identifies as female is huge. That's absolutely huge. That's the very first step. That's the very first thing that I think needs to be established when you're trying to create a safe environment for women personally. And from that point, just understanding that they have the exact same desire to support games as you do. They may just enjoy the way that games look. They may just enjoy the way that it feels when they play it. They may just enjoy, like, you know, talking about it, but they still love it. That passion is still there because they're here. And I will tell you from experience, I've tried to get my family members out to tournaments for the longest time. It's hard when people don't care about video games to get them to come out to play video games. It's very difficult. So if someone is there, they want to be there. They have made the conscious effort, despite all odds, that they love games that much. They're willing to take that chance. And I feel like they deserve the same level of respect that you would give anybody else, regardless of how they look or appear, time of day. So I feel like that's a good first step. I could go further into it, but in the interest of time, I won't. Suffice it to say, I believe there was a very, 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 very well done interview by Amanda T. Stevens, and you stated earlier, Gerald, otherwise known as Core Gaming, on YouTube. Esteban Hold Back to Block interviewed Amanda T. Stevens earlier this week, and that that video is up on YouTube. That documentary is up on YouTube. I highly recommend listening to that because she gives some amazing tips on things that would help women feel a lot more comfortable inside of the community. And I want to state as well, I keep saying women, but I'm also including people who identify as female here, and I apologize if that term isn't being considered to widely cover everyone. I'm exclusively using the term to cover everyone here. So I just want to formally apologize if someone doesn't feel included there. I want you to understand that I'm including everyone inside of that branch. That's all.
No, that's awesome. I'm happy you brought that up, Steve. Sorry for cutting you off, Steve. Steve just put the link to that interview that Sharpie was talking about, and I literally just saw it today, and it's on my watch list. So tonight or tomorrow, I'm going to be watching that.
Very good watch.
we had Besteban on the show a couple weeks ago, and man, he's another person that I met from the Philly scene. But him and I didn't really talk until much later.
He's busy.
He's a busy guy. he eliminated me from my first local, that asshole. I'm still bringing it up. I'm still salty.
You never get over that salt, though.
Ago, and I still think about it when I go to bed.
You never get over that salt. Anytime anyone's like, so how do you feel about Sonic Fox playing, you know, Skullgirls? And I was like, you know, I love them to death. They are my family. They are literally my blood. But, like, if they don't stop playing characters that I love and getting them nerfed to the ground, I'm absolutely going to strangle them. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I understand.
I still have flashbacks to the random local I was at 5 years ago when I was blocking Viper's Ultra, but then I got bumped from behind by someone passing me, and I got hit by the rest of the animation. Like, it's still, I'll like be walking down, carrying on about my day, just like.
Oh, that's the worst type of salt. That's the worst type. Oh, that's the worst type.
Oh. Man, that happened to a buddy of mine at Final Round 2016. The first ever Street Fighter V tournament. Yeah, first ever Street Fighter V tournament where there were, like, way too many people breaking fire code in that fucking ballroom. And and the worst part of it is he was playing Bison, so somebody bumped him and he lost his charge. And he lost the game. And it's like, oh, that's so terrible.
See, this is why I play online, where the only thing working against me is my wonderful netcode, which is absolutely amazing. Cross the country, you know, Japan to U.S., playskullgirls.sharpypls.com. Get the game. Absolutely fantastic. You guys really thought I was going to come on here and not shit. Look at Steve. He's like,
I got hit with the mix-up. I get hit with the mix-up every time.
And she spilled it, even though she said she wasn't playing. Y'all thought I wasn't going to. I have been trying to get on this show for the last 4 years of my life to exclusively do that. Y'all thought I wasn't going to. That's crazy. Play Skullgirls. TrevyPLS.com to get the game. It's absolutely fantastic. $9.99 on Steam. Absolutely recommend it.
And on that note, on that Play Skullgirls note, we have reached time. So, first of all, Sharpie, thank you so much for coming on the show, for giving us a little insight into the Skullgirls community and into what it's like being a black woman in the community and how hard that is. We're super happy that you are so open to sharing those experiences with us and helping us to be better about making sure that everybody's welcome and making sure that everybody feels safe. I'm an optimist, so I hope we'll get there someday within our lifetimes, but that's to be seen.
Of course.
Super appreciate your time and being on the show.
Thank you so much for being here. Should I walk out of the same Skullgirls door that I came from, or
that is up to you. You can walk out of whatever door you want.
Hang tight, because we got to do the sign off. You've been here for like 2/3 of the show, so you get night trap.
Oh shit! Yeah, all right, hold on. Fuck. I wasn't ready, Steve. You put it.
Sorry.
All right, it's okay. All right. Well, either way. For myself, I'm Elon. There's my Twitter info right there. You feel free to follow me there. For Steve, the main squeeze, Ace King, Offsuit Jurek. And for our guest, Sheila, the Purple Sharpie, thank you so much for hanging out with us today as I am trying to find where Night Trap is. Oh, there it is. There we go. Thank you so much, everybody, for joining in today. This has been a blast. I'm super happy we're back. We'll see you guys next week with more fancy tweaks, more fancy shows, and everything else. But until then, Steve, say it.
Good night, Canada.
John would say love you, miss you, bye. But he's not here anymore. RIP. Anyway.
Love, peace, and hair grease.
Love, peace, and hair grease. We got a new one. See you all next time.
Yeah, you can't.
Oh, I did the wrong thing. All right, we're out.